meeting was done this morning. Surely it was less than ready this morning. Sunday school version. And Sunday school, good reminders to us, and I've been really enjoying these studies on various levels. Like the folks mentioned, Jason, he has a type of crisis. Definitely, amen to that. Look at Jason's life, how he did it, what he faced, and he just always sharing out so well through that all. So anyway, well, for a message this morning, you ever feel discouraged? You ever feel discouraged? You know, this morning we face a lot of difficulties in life. Life brings difficulties, life brings challenges, life brings changes. And facing many things can cause us to be discouraged. How does it feel to be discouraged? That's what I'd like to talk about this morning, how the message is discouragement. You know, we face discouragement. I'm sure we all have this morning. Maybe right now you're facing a discouraging time. I don't know. But you know, we face discouraging times through life. As a farmer, you know, when it's dry in the summertime, you see the corn dry up. That is discouraging to a farmer. Maybe you're as Christian people this morning, maybe you're discouraged about the Christian life. Just discouraged about it. Maybe you're trying to find victory in your life. Can't. Just feel discouraged about that. Or, well, let's keep going. We find many things discouraged about. You know, we have an enemy this morning that, especially as it comes to our Christian life, he likes to make us feel discouraged about living our Christian life. So this morning, I'd like to take a look at discouragement. And when we are discouraged this morning, that is when we're apt to respond unwisely to situations and people. When we're discouraged. This is how we might respond when we're discouraged. We complain about a certain situation. Whatever it is. We withdraw ourselves. Whatever it is. It might become that person that we think is that causes us to be discouraged, or whatever our relationship problem, we can decide to withdraw ourselves from that person. We blame them. We play the blame game. We draw negative conclusions about people. We quit, or we give up. Or if we don't give up, we try to go on. With all these feelings that I mentioned about inside of us, churning inside of us. You know, we try to get a hold of ourselves. And we know this is not how we should live our lives. We can't on ourselves. When we sink into deeper discouragement. Discouragement this morning. Such a part of us. What are some Bible examples on discouragement? Bible accounts. There are many. We could do it. Many verses this morning. There are many we can look at. But I can think of, came across the Israelites. And as you follow their journey, the Israelites, through the, especially through the wilderness. Well, it started back in Egypt when they were, when the Pharaoh ruled everything in the iron hand, worked so hard. But yet, and how God delivered them out, and how they went through the Red Sea, and all that. You know, you just follow their life. Time after time, they faced discouragement. I had to think of the time when they were just ready to go into the promised land. Moses sent his 12 spies out and to spy out the land. You know, you know that story, they come back, and Josh and Caleb had this positive report. And they rested, but they were worried about these giants in that land. They were worried about They said we look like grasshoppers to them. They were discouraged. And they discouraged the whole camp of people. And Josh and Caleb said, we can do it. That is, you know, God is with us. Let's go. But the rest, through that discouragement, through that whole host of the Israelites, and Numbers 14, verse 1, it says the people cry all night. A discouraged people. They murmured against Moses. They cried out against God. For bringing them into this wilderness. And they accused God, they blamed God. That's what they did. For bringing us here. And we're going to die here. And they were ready to go back to Egypt. Why are these people acting this way? Did they forget what God had done for them? That's them now in the Red Sea. They were discouraged people. This morning, when you and I are discouraged, we can't look beyond the situation. We forget what God has done in the past. Like the children of Israelites here, discouragement came from comparing a difficult situation to their resources instead of looking to God for their resources. Another time, the Israelites were discouraged because they had to go a different way of travel because they went on to Edom or something like that. And they spake against God and Moses. They were weary, they complained about having no food and water. They were, and yet they had manna, and they were sick and tired of this manna. They were discouraged because they were focusing too much on their difficulty. And they lost sight of God's promises and provision. And that's when God called these fiery serpents to come out and bite them. And then he died from that time. Elijah came to the point of discouragement in his life. When he was out, he just had that. Met with King Ahab there on, I forget where it was, but with Baal worshippers. And they had that altar. And they had such a victorious time. Elijah showed the people who really needed to serve. And the story goes on. What we have after about Elijah just fleeing from his life, ran into the wilderness, discouraged, ready to give it up. Why was he ready to give it up? No one else is serving God. That's what discouraged happens. And we're discouraged this morning. We lose our focus, and after a while, we forget about this. We forget about the past, the good times we just came through. We forget about what God is doing in our life. We can't get our eyes off ourselves, and we can't look ahead to the future or whatever it is. We can't look to God. For our text this morning, you can turn to Genesis chapter 21. I'll make up. There's another Old Testament story here that I'll like to take a look at this morning. And it's the story of Hagar. Genesis chapter 21. I'm going to read verses 1 to 21 here at this time. Genesis 21. And the Lord visited Sarah, and he said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived, and she bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 years old, as God commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, hath God made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me? And she said, you would have said unto Abraham that Sarah would have given children sight, for I have been born a son in this old age. And as the child grew, and the child grew in weaned, and Abraham made a great feast in the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which was born unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son. For the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir of my son, even with Isaac. And this thing, and the thing very was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, put this not grievous in thy sight because of the lad, and because of thy bondwoman, and all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac thy seed shall be called. And also in the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation because he is thy seed. Abraham rose up early in the morning, took bread, and he bought all water, and he gave them to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and her child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. The water was spent in the bottle. She cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat down. And she went and sat down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. And she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him, and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad, and God called to Hagar out of heaven. And he said unto thee, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad. Where is he? Arise, lift up the lad, hold him into thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and he saw a well of water. And she saw a well of water, and she went, filled the bottle with water, and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew, and he dwelt in the wilderness, and became an archer, and dwelt in the wilderness of Karen, and his mother took him, the wife of him. Yep. Story of Hagar. Hagar was Sarah's handmaid, an Egyptian. And we know the story how Sarah could not have any children, and so it was a custom in those days, and a wife and a child, they went to the handmaid here, and that's what happened here. And Hagar had his son Ishmael. But then we have in this chapter how Isaac was born, and we all know this story so well, how Sarah couldn't have him. Finally, he had Isaac, son of her old age. And anyhow, we go on into this chapter, verse 9. We see a conflict happening. And we see Ishmael teasing Isaac. And things just didn't work out well. And this upset Sarah so bad. And when she comes to Abraham, she said, cast this bondwoman out. And her son. We can't have him heir with my son. This isn't going to work. Get rid of her. Send her away. And we see this was very grievous in the sight of Abraham. So in verse 14, we have Abraham rising that one morning. Early, he took up some bread, some water, and gave it to Hagar. He got the child and put her on her shoulder and sent him away. And she departed into the wilderness of there she fell. Verse 15, the water got off in the bottle. I'm sure they ate that little red piece of bread. And she put it. And Hagar put this child under the shrubs. And she goes and sits off in the bow shop. And she didn't want to see her child die. And she wept. Sat over against him and wept. We find Hagar here, a very discouraged lady. This morning, I was questioning, can you blame Hagar for feeling this way? Can you blame her for feeling discouraged? No, I can't. I blame her. You just stop and think. First of all, she has this child. And if you know the story, if you go back a few chapters, chapter 16, you know she really didn't want this child. She flew. When she knew she was pregnant with this child. And here we know the angel came back and told her to go back into Abraham's house. And the son she's going to have, and everything's going to be okay. And Hagar's going to, or Ishmael's going to become a great nation. Anyway, we have that. I'm sure she has that in her mind. And then we have Like we read here in chapter 21, we have Isaac being born, and the conflict there with Sarah and Hagar and with Isaac and Ishmael. And then we have Abraham coming in. I don't know if Hagar had a warning or not. If Hagar knew this was coming, but I don't read that here. But I see Abraham coming to Hagar one morning and say, here's a lot of water, and here's a loaf of bread. You're going to have to leave here. You're going to have to go. If things aren't going to work out here, but just go. And he sends her off. And I'm sure you as mothers this morning know any mom with a child has that. And as she wandered off, I'm sure there was hundreds of questions going through her mind. How is she going to provide now? What is the outcome of this going to be? Who's going to take care of this child? I'm sure her mind was going all directions as she walked away from Abraham's house that one day, that one morning. And I'm sure the longer she traveled, the more her thoughts went. And as she traveled, and as she went to that wilderness, as the sun rose up higher and higher in the day, as hotter it got, the water in the bottle got off, and the bread was eaten. Everything was gone. What is there worth living? How am I going to move from this? A very discouraging time. And I don't believe in being discouraged. But she became so discouraged that she finally sees that shrub and she shoves the fish on the shrubs and says, I can't see him die. And she sits not far away. And she sits under a tree or whatever. She sits in the grass. Self-pity and discouragement takes all of us. Discouragement. Talk about someone with discouragement. Look, verse 17 is scary. Verse 17 is kind of coming behind the scenes. There was someone that cared about Hagar. And that was God. God's seeing Hagar down there. He's seeing Ishmael under that shrub. And an angel of God called out from heaven and said, Hagar, what aileth thee? What is your problem? And he says, fear not. For God hath heard the voice of the lad. Where is he? Verse 18. Go to him. Rise him up. Get a hold of him. Comfort him. Take care of him. For I will make him a great nation. Verse 19, God opened her eyes, and what did she see? She saw a young man, and she went and filled the bottle of water and gave it to the lad. And God was with this lad Ishmael, and he brought him over the next. You know, look at this story this morning, and we can say, yes, Hagar, thank God. Like, we can't imagine being Hagar there, being in Hagar's shoes. But I think there's some lessons we can learn from this. We see here that Hagar was fully focused on herself and her problems, and it led her to discouragement. And we don't see her just crying out to God for help. But this morning, when I'm discouraged, where do I turn to? Where do I go? Do I find myself crying out to God for help? Or do I find myself like Hagar, sitting under a tree and just moping about my problems, pitying myself, thinking all about myself. Poor me, I have it so tough, crying, self-pity cry. And all I can see this morning is the problems that I'm facing. And it's about poor me. And I become very narrow-minded and very short-sighted. I can't see myself. Someone mentioned, I heard it in a message one time, someone mentioned that discouragement or being discouraged is like a, I don't know if they call it money funnels or what they call it, but I can. You know, you throw your money on top and it goes around and around and around and around. I'm not sure what they're called. But the ministry uses an illustration like, it's like throwing a piece of money in here, and it starts out a little wide, and it goes around, and it goes around, and it goes around, and it goes around. And you can go, at the start of that whole process, you can reach in and grab your money and rerun it again. But as this money piece goes around and around, as it narrows down to the bottom of this funnel type thing, it really spins real fast. And just really fast, down, 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 and drops out to the bottom, I guess. And that's I use that as a prime example of discouragement. So often when we start out being discouraged, we can quickly get a hold of ourselves. But if we keep feeding our discouragement in this, we're like that piece of money, we get down to the bottom of that thing. And once we go around and around, it's like a mirror that all you can see is yourself as you spin around on that thing. As you spin around and around, all you can see is yourself, yourself, yourself. And you're getting further and further down, deeper, deeper in discouragement and despair. I thought that was such a good example of being discouraged. You see this with Caleb. Number two, when we're a discouraged person, we can't think straight or be reasonable or make decisions. We do things that don't make sense, that don't line up. Like Hagar here, she's out there in the wilderness, discouraged. What does she do? Well, she puts Ishmael under the shrub. I can't imagine doing that, putting one of my children under a shrub and die. I'm sure Hagar probably would have never thought she would have came to that place of actually doing that. Just putting her child under the shrub and die, to walk in the wilderness and die. But when we're down in that funnel of discouragement, we do things like that. We're at wit's end. We just can't get a hold of ourselves. And the situation, the environment around us looks impossible to get out. That problem we're facing. And we're so discouraged. And we think we'll just do anything to get out of that. Our discouraging pride also will affect others around us. When I'm discouraged this morning, who do I affect? It's the ones that are around me. I can get so focused on me and my problems, I forget about the needs around me that I'm responsible to take care of. And this is the behavior, traditional. It was all by herself. She was willing to. She was so ready to see, almost see the sun die. She was that discouraged. In verse 16, the thought that stood out to me here, we have Hagar here, lifting up her voice and weeping. Then we have God coming on the scenes here. But whose voice did God hear here? Whose voice did God hear? Was it Hagar's voice? Did she hear Hagar crying? No, verse 17 says, God heard the voice of the Lord. Then he tells Hagar, I hear the voice of your lad, Ishmael. Rise up, hold him. The Lord didn't hear Hagar's self-pity and discouraged cry. They heard her son's cry. Instead of thinking about herself and her voice, she should have been reaching out to the needs that are around her, even though that needs look impossible to meet. Still should have been reaching out, finding a way to get a hold of her discouragement. Because there were needs in front of her that could be met. Verse 19, what happens when the Lord opened her eyes? There was this well of water. Now, was that well of water always there? The question I have to ask. Or did God just some miracle put it there? I like to think it always was there. But when God opened her eyes, she seen the water. Can we learn from something from this? I think we can. So many times we find ourselves in our discouraging times. Where are our eyes? They are shut. They are shut. Or they're looking down at the problem underneath them. Whatever I'm facing, whatever I'm going through, it's only about me. It's time to open our eyes and see what's going on around me. You know, this morning there's all kinds of needs around us to meet. And this morning, through this series this morning, one of the greatest things we can do is reach out to others. It helps us get the eyes off our own problems and look to others. And when we reach out to others, sometimes we realize, you know what? I don't have it as bad after all. What I'm facing doesn't seem too bad. Because when I look over here, wow. Wow, good health. Good health. You might be sick in the hospital. I'm not well. Help us. All of a sudden, it's discouraging. It helps us. And there's many things we can do, I think. It's go visit that person that's in the hospital. Or send them an email. It's just on and on. There's news everywhere. This morning, we can see them. We also need to get our eyes on God. And God has a special plan for us all. And we feel discouraged this morning and wonder what that plan is all about. What God wants is when we look to Him for help. Did Hagar forget about what God told her back at the well when she was with child Ishmael? Did God tell her that I'm going to raise up Ishmael and he will become great and I will bless him and he will become a nation? Did she forget about all that? It seems like she has. Did she care about God's plan for her? Now the end point she was on. We know that Ishmael became a ruler of a large nation with a large nation's people's death. The last part of the message this morning. How can we avoid discouragement? Question I'd like us to think about. How can I avoid becoming discouraged? There's seven times here that I found in my study that were encouraging to me. Number one, distinguish between the changeables and the non-changeables in our lives. In this morning, changes come. Some changes come in our lives that are here to stay. We can't take that change away. How do I relate to that non-changeable faith that come upon me? There are circumstances that we face that are out of our control. We face them. How do I relate to them? Do I become discouraged overnight? Did he make me feel discouraged, these changes? Pick up. My heart cry this morning is that whatever comes to our lives, it might be that change in life that came to us. And that we would just allow our lives to be open to God. And look to God and be open to God and let us think that, you know, God is allowing this for his purpose. God has a purpose for us all here. He's a plan for us. He's not a gift for Israel. Like he did for the children of Israel. Like he did for Elijah. This is on. Number two. Keep our eyes on, focus on God's power and resources. Keep our eyes focused on God. God's power. We need to keep our focus on the power of God this morning. You know this morning. That we serve an all-powerful God, unlimited in power. We question God's power sometimes. God this morning has unlimited resources. He has the help there. He has the power there to help us to keep our focus right. You know, this morning we have the word, we have the brotherhood, we have the power of prayer. Christian friends, friends of the protective lost people, who stop and think. Many resources. God has the power there for us. And he has the power to help us through those discouraging times of life. He has the power to give us. His power is unlimited. God does not run out of power this morning. We realize that this morning. Number three, review God's promises. And recall ways he provided. And remember ways he provided for us in the past. And the Bible is full of promises of God. I will never leave you nor forsake you. One of the things we can be assured of this morning, that God's promises will always stand. We read a promise in God's Bible, we don't need to question it and see if God's going to live out that promise. Because God's promises will always stand. God's promise. When we think of the past, not that we keep focusing on the past, but we look in the past at maybe other disturbing times and how we came through and how God has helped us. Can it be encouragement to keep pressing on and to continue to look to God's promises? So, thought I had myself to use this one. Number four, rejoice who God is. Rejoice who God is and remove his attributes. In this morning, you can start to talk a bit about the attributes of God and be a message in itself. And it's good to rejoice in God, who he is. And when we stop and realize the greatness of God, the eternal God, the everlasting God, the loving God, the long-suffering God. Goodness, great, marvelous, kind, compassionate. That's the God we serve this morning. Always there for us. Always there. His love just reaches us out to us to the fullest. It's the God we have, we serve. Number five, wait on the Lord's time. Just in Isaiah. I'd like to read. Wait on the Lord's time. Isaiah 40, verse 5 says this. Say verse 31. It's not working. For they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They know the Lord's timing. You're making a decision. It should not be made or based on discouragement, difficult or fear. But wait on the Lord. I know it's so hard to wait on the Lord. But this verse here says, but they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Another great promise from the Bible from God. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord's timing. Number six, trust that God is right and is good no matter what the situation seems to us. You know, sometimes we face them trying situations. There's discouraging times. We wonder, why did we have to go through that time? Why? You know, it might be, it might have set us back coming to me. It might have, whatever it did to us. But you know, this morning, we can trust God that He is right. And don't matter what we face, the situation was good for us. It was a growing time for us. It was a time of strengthening our faith. It was a time of reaching out to Him more. That's what it means. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. There, again, another great truth from the Bible. And number seven, realizing that what seemed like a setback to us might be God's way of showing us greater plans. It's kind of tied in with the last one. It might seem like a setback to us. Maybe it was a setback for us. But it might be God's way of showing us. Like Isaiah 55 and 9. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts your thoughts. God is the only God. He lives off the earth. His ways are so much higher than our ways, and His thoughts so much higher than our thoughts. We may try to fit God into our mold, and try to make His plans, His purposes fit into our timing, our schedule, our plans. But you know what we should do instead is try to fit our plans into God's plans. Lord, God is an all-knowing God. His thoughts are just so much higher than ours. His ways are so much higher than our ways. And yet so often it's so hard to see that. This morning, are you feeling discouraged this morning? Look to God. In this morning, let's look to God. For our problems, for our discouraging times. You know, this morning, if we face our discouraging moments, our discouraging times, like Hagar did, we're just going to fall farther and farther into that little funnel. And it's harder and harder to get out. Then depression sets in. Lord, and that's not what God wants. God wants us to turn our discouragement to Him. Our God, our help in time of trouble. So that's my prayer for you all this week. If you're feeling discouraged, look to God for help. That's right. Talk all in heaven, we come to you again on this Sunday morning. Lord, we thank you for that you're a great God, that your thoughts are so